Well, welcome from Guildford Baptist Church. Greetings from Guildford Baptist Church, where we are also undergoing a big building project like you. And we're on, I think, the fourth phase. It's been going on for donkey's years. But it's one of the things that's been interesting is for this fourth phase, which is quite a significant sum of money, we've had to all move out of the building. But we've also been applying for grants, local grants, for this building project. And one organisation said, we would like to give you a grant, but first we want to know what impact you're having in the community. So can you give us some stories of what a difference it's made, actually, coming into your church community to people? And so what started as a bit of a tick-boxing exercise, encouraging people to share their stories, their testimonies, of what difference it had made coming into the church community, has actually become a really faith-building experience for us as a church. For the last year, people have written into our church magazine their stories of what has happened, what God has done as they've been part of our community. And today I'm going to talk to you about Thanksgiving Psalms. I hope you've all got a handout, but otherwise after the service you're welcome to grab one. On Monday morning, if I happened to tune in to Radio 4, and three vicars were talking about hatch, match, and dispatch. And last Monday was actually on the dispatch thing. I think tomorrow morning it's on something else. So last Monday was all about funerals. And it was an incredible mix listening to these three talking of sadness and some really poignant moments and reaching out to God for their community, but also for themselves personally when they'd had to bury people who were very dear to them. So there were moments of tears, but there was also a lot of laughter. One vicar shared a story of how this family had asked her to release a white dove at the graveside to represent the spirit of this person being released, the dove representing peace. This dove should be released, be set free. And she kind of begrudgingly agreed to it, wasn't quite sure about the theology of it all. But no sooner had this dove flown up into the sky than a sparrowhawk swooped down and grabbed it. And so if you want a bit of a laugh, as well as some sadness, tune into Radio 4 tomorrow morning. But what I love about the Psalms is you get this incredible breadth of human experience being expressed, as Kat so beautifully put it this morning, of sorrow. Over 70, I think, of the Psalms are Psalms of lament in the 150 Psalms. Great depths of sorrow are plumbed, and we're given permission to complain to God. It's there in Scripture. It's amazing. But at the same time, and I think this is quite important to remember, church, at the same time, great heights of joy are climbed and given voice to in the Psalms. And we hear this particularly in the Psalms of praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 81, sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music, strike the timbrel, play the melodious harp and lyre. Being part of God's people would have been a pretty noisy business back then in Israel. They made a lot of noise. They voiced their grief honestly. They brought the whole of themselves before God, all the rubbish, as well as all the bits they were thankful for. It would have been noisy. And sometimes, I think as Brits, we can be a little bit reluctant about being too noisy, either about the stuff we need to be honest before God about, but also about voicing our thanks. And so in the Psalms, you get these Psalms of praise and thanksgiving, and there is a difference between the two. So I just want to draw that distinction out before we start looking at the Psalms. So praise psalms are general praise about who God is. That's the general gist of them. You give praise to God for his might, his power, his love, his mercy. You praise him for who he is. But psalms of thanksgiving are slightly different in that they tend to give thanks to God for specific action of God in reaching out to you personally or to your community personally at a time of crisis. So Psalms of Thanksgiving, in other words, are very particular, and they tell stories, and they remember often the whole shibboleth of the lament and the crisis and the despair, and they also remember what God did, how he acted in history, and then they give thanks. And I think it's really important that we don't just cry out to God when we're in need, and it's good that we do that. You know, C.S. Lewis says, I only pray when I'm in trouble, but since I'm in trouble a lot, I pray a lot. And that's true for most of us, isn't it? It's certainly true for me. But it's also important, if we read that story in Luke 17, that when, you remember when Jesus heals the 10 lepers, and only one comes back to thank him? I don't know about you, but I want to be that one who comes back. I don't want to just rush on with the rest of my life and forget to come back and thank the one who acted, who delivered, who rescued. And so Psalms of Thanksgiving give us a voice for this, for giving God thanks for what he's done. Karl Barth said, "Thanksgiving is the reflex action of grace." And I would challenge you, if you're not able to give any thanks to God, maybe you need to pray that God just pours out his grace in your life, that you experience his grace for yourself. So some of the Psalms of Thanksgiving include Psalm 103, that was used at the royal wedding with the Queen and Prince Philip. Psalm 30 speaks of God's rescue. Psalm 107 is probably one of the most typical Psalms of Thanksgiving. It gives a kind of case study, four different situations of crisis and rescue. So lost in the desert, in prison, in sickness, a storm at sea. And sometimes these are literal and sometimes they're metaphorical, but metaphor doesn't mean it's not true. Actually, sometimes metaphor says even more powerfully what is true. And it feels true for the psalmist at that time. And then Psalm 124 is a kind of, well, there but for the grace of God go I, Thanksgiving psalm. And another way of viewing the Psalms of Thanksgiving is through Walter Brueggemann's cycle of orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. Are any of you familiar with that? Okay, so I think you've got the diagram. But Psalms of Orientation are psalms that say everything is good in the world and God is on his throne. And you're confident that the world is reliable, that you know where you are in it and you know where God is in it and everything is okay. And we don't stay there for very long. But we often will hit crisis points in our lives and we feel disorientated because suddenly everything is not good in the world and the world is not ordered anymore. In fact, the world seems to be in chaos. And actually, as a nation and as a church, we need to be praying Psalms of disorientation right now for us and all that we're facing politically. And you're questioning, where is God and what does God want in all of this and what is he doing? And the world seems hostile. You're in the pit. And actually, when you're in that pit, it is an act of faith to pray to God, to bring your lament to God, your complaint to God, as you heard very clearly last week. And then Psalms of Reorientation are when God has brought you out of that pit and you're no longer in the crisis. You've gone through the crisis. You're out the other side. And in Thanksgiving Psalms are really from a place of reorientation. And you're in a different place from where you started. It's not like the Psalm of Orientation because you know the darkness and you've been through the pit and you know what that felt like, but you also give voice to God's rescue and the fact that he stepped down. He came close and he brought you out of that place. You're grateful that you came through the storm, and so you give thanks. And when you come out the other side, you're not the same person as you were at the beginning. And so you need to take a photo at that time. C.S. Lewis says, take a photo, because it won't last forever. There'll be other times when you're back down in the pit. Take a photo, and in a way, a psalm of thanksgiving is like taking that photo. This is where I am now. And it's not that you're on a never-ending sort of wheel that just goes round and round, but actually it's much more like a spiral, an upwardly moving spiral, because every time you go in the pit, when you've seen what God's done before, you feel more confident in him. That whatever happens, and it might not turn out as you want it to, you know that he's good and he's not going to let go of you. So we're going to hear a psalm of thanksgiving this morning, Psalm 116, which I believe Mick is going to read to us.
Psalm 116, on page 615 of the Church Bibles. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. And when I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my ears, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk into the Lord, into the land of the living. I believe, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. And in my dismay I said, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all the people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank you offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise to the Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much. So this psalm tells a story of personal rescue from death. And it's basically structured in three parts. First of all, it gives a statement of purpose. The psalmist explains what he wants to do. Then he tells the story of crisis and crying out to God and being rescued by God. And then finally he finishes with a renewed vow of praise. And so I want to look at those three things briefly. First of all, the opening, the stating what this is about, is a good thing to remember when we tell testimonies. It's good to have a kind of purpose to them. So he starts off, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. He turned his ear to me, so I will call on him as long as I live. It's important, church, that we know our why. You know, we can go around telling people, I love the Lord. Tell people over the school gate, I love the Lord. He's great. He's loving. He's good. That doesn't mean much to them at all. abstract nouns about God go straight over their head very often. But they need to know why you love the Lord. And the psalmist explains, he heard my cry for mercy. He turned his ear to me. The image here is of a doctor or nurse leaning over the patient's bed when they're so feeble they can hardly speak and just listening in for that whisper from the patient. It's a tender image. Always be prepared, says Peter, to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So the psalmist knows his why. He knows why he loves the Lord. And then he backs up this statement of purpose with a story. And he gives examples after stating, for example, verse 5, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. He backs this up with the story of rescue and deliverance. When I was brought low, for example, verse 6, he saved me. There's a lot of drama in the Psalms of Thanksgiving. And there's a lot of drama often in our lives too. And we need to be prepared to give voice to the whole drama. It's great that you've got this drama coming up in a couple of weeks' time. To give expression to all of it. The Thanksgiving Psalms don't hide the tension and the pain under the carpet. But actually they give voice to the whole story. They acknowledge how bad it was. So there's lament even in the Thanksgiving Psalm. But they know how this story ends. And knowing how it ends makes all the difference. They know that ultimately, in God, life is going to be a comedy and not a tragedy. They know that ultimately God is going to get the last laugh. Psalm 2, that he will laugh at the pretensions of humankind trying to make it on their own. And most importantly, as we see in the New Testament, that he will laugh at death, the most common enemy that we all face. Death is swallowed up in victory through Christ. Death, where is your sting? We're running not to a victory, Christians. We're running from a victory. Christ came, he died, he was raised again. Knowing that he will come back one day as victor makes all the difference to our story. Amen? And so the Psalms tell a story. They tell a particular story of rescue. And you might want to think, what is your particular story recently of how God has delivered you? But they set it in a wider story of God's rescue. And as Christians, we set our stories within his big story of Christ's coming and his death and resurrection and coming again. That is the ultimate deliverance from us. Even when he doesn't answer our prayers in the way that we want him to, we know ultimately we are perfectly safe in him, that we do have life eternal. And thirdly, Thanksgiving Psalms often end with a renewed vow. In verse 14, the psalmist has asked, you know, is there anything I can do to repay you, Lord? To which the Lord says, duh. But salvation, of course, is completely free. And our efforts to repay him, we know, are pathetic. It's pointless to try and repay God for what he's done in our lives. But we are called to participate in salvation. If you look at verse 13, to lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. In other words, we offer thanks and worship as a way of participating in his rescue mission. And so I'd like us to say these words from verses 13 to 14 together as a church, if we feel able to say them. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious is the sight of the Lord, is the death of his faithful servants. I wonder how you would tell your story. I love the Lord, for he... How would you finish that sentence? I'd really encourage you this week to take some time out and write down what God has done for you in a particular time recently. These Psalms of Thanksgiving are very particular. But you might want to set that on against the backdrop of the big story of salvation and deliverance that you have in Christ. And you know, we're not always brilliant as British people about telling our stories. We're not always great at celebrating them. I've been to other countries where they're far more ready to tell their stories and celebrate what God has done. And I think we can learn from other cultures here. But we need to be ready to tell our stories. And the way that we can often be more confident in sharing our testimonies, our stories, is by actually writing them down. These Psalms didn't just appear out of the sky from nowhere. They were worked and reworked, edited. We know that the psalmist had editors. They were crafted. So take some time, find a space this week to maybe write down your story and think, how can I get it really tight? And then use perhaps the structure of this psalm, stating the purpose, telling the story, crisis, in all its messiness, and deliverance, and renewing your vow of thanksgiving at the end. Take some time this week to write your stories, because your stories are prophetic. They go further than you know. We had an experience of an Iranian refugee who turned up at our church 3 years ago, having had to flee the police in Iran due to his work. And he had been in Dun Alpha with us, had come to faith. And then at Christmas, he had a bike accident on the road, and he called some of us, and he was just literally by the roadside, bleeding, completely helpless, had never been to a hospital or wasn't part of a doctor's surgery in Guildford, and was in a mess. And some folks in our church took him into A&E, had to go through all the rigmarole, the paperwork, managed to get eventually a Christian in our church, fixed his teeth. They were broken, completely broken. He had a broken shoulder, broken knee, got him into registered at GP surgery. Some couple took him in their home. Another couple made soup for him because he couldn't eat anything solid. What was really interesting was that we were doing another Alpha course at this time, and one of the girls who'd been on it came back after Christmas, and she was really angry with God. Her brother had died quite suddenly out in France, and she was furious about it. And she came back and she rejoined the Alpha group, and she met this Iranian guy, and she was like, "You must be so angry with God." And he said, "Well, actually, no, God's been really good to me." He started listing the kind of things that people had done, shown him kindness, taken him to hospital appointments, dentists. And she was so touched by the story that she heard, that she eventually gave her life to the Lord and gave a testimony a couple of weeks of how that had impacted her. You know, you can tell people God is good, God is loving, but unless they see it in the flesh, and they will often see it through you and your stories, they don't know. So take some time this week to write your stories down and then pray, "Lord, who would you have me share this with?" Let's pray. Father God, we are sorry for the times when we are like the nine who forget to come back to thank you. We pray for a change of heart in us, that you would increasingly pour out by your Spirit the gratitude attitude, that we would be quick to thank you, that we would be able to express our pain to you, but we'd also be able to express our joy before you and amongst your people, that we would give testimony to your goodness in particular ways at particular times in our lives. May our life be a constant lifting up of thanksgiving to you for all that you've done for us, both now and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.